Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Welcome to Becoming is Messy, where we dive deep into the journey of survival, transformation, and everything in between. I'm your host, Megan Dawson, here to share the honest, unfiltered stories behind my own process of becoming. Life isn't a pretty and perfect straight line, and neither is becoming the person we're meant to be. Here, we embrace the ups, the downs, and all the beautiful, chaotic, messy moments that shape who we are. Whether you're in the thick of change or reflecting on past transformations, this space is for real conversations about what it means to grow, stumble, and rise again. So get comfy, settle in, and let's get messy. Welcome back to another episode of Becoming is Messy. Every becoming is messy, as we talk about regularly, and sometimes that translates over to our business journey. Today, we're talking about something that's been on my heart for a while: what it really means to build a business that aligns with your soul. I can't think of a better person to explore that with than someone whose work has helped to shape how I'm showing up in my own business, the amazing Jess Parvin. I first met Jess right here in Madison when I attended her Soulful Selling Workshop. I'll be heading to her Human Design Workshop for Entrepreneurs later this week, because the way that she bridges intuition and business just clicks for me. Jess is a holistic business coach, branding expert, and soul purpose guide who helps multi-passionate, purpose-led entrepreneurs create businesses that actually feeling them. Soul deep. Through her background in design, her certification as a soul purpose coach, and her own evolution from freelance designer to soulpreneur, Jess helps people integrate strategy with soul, creating brands and businesses that feel authentic, grounded, and alive. Jess, welcome to Becoming is Messy. I'm so happy to have you join.
I'm so excited to be here, Megan. Thank you so much. That was like the best intro ever. I want to steal it and put it on my website.
Oh my gosh, you got it. I'll send it to you. Yes. Oh, I love that. Happy to hear it. And it's all true. I think your work just instantly resonated with where I'm at in my own soulpreneur journey. And so I'm grateful for you and just really excited to share that with our listeners today. So to get us started, just help us set the stage for today's discussion and talk a little bit about this current season that you're in.
A good question. The current season I'm in, I feel like it's I studied Ayurveda years ago, and I would say it's a very Pitta season. Pitta is like action oriented, fire. I'm taking a lot of action in my business, growing things, building things. I really feel like I've hit my stride in a lot of ways as far as getting clear on what it is I do, who I do it for, and how. So that looks like coaching for the most part, coaching female soulpreneurs like yourself who are building really purpose-driven, soul-aligned businesses. And by that, an extension of who we're here to be in this world. Not so interested in business just from a money-making capitalist standpoint. I believe that we are entering a new paradigm. Capitalism is shifting, changing, crumbling probably. And business is more for me about creative expression, self-expression, service, and being really in alignment with our purpose and who we're here to be. So for the most part, that looks like coaching women. I also still do some design work from a branding perspective, and I'm doing more and more group events, which I really love, like the one-day retreat that you attended, workshops, retreats, group coaching.
Awesome. So now take us backwards. Every becoming journey has its twists and turns. What are some of those in your background that brought you to this moment?
Yeah. Oh man, so many. Where to start? So I've been self-employed for about 15 years, more or less. There were a few waitressing gigs in the early days that helped tide me over. But I started with working as a graphic designer. So that's my background and education. I had a corporate job for all of 2 years. as a graphic designer, doing photography, websites, branding, and all kinds of things for a clothing company. I got laid off in sort of the end of the recession. I don't know what year that was, 2010 maybe. And really used that as an opportunity to jump into freelancing, which was my gateway to entrepreneurship and to the freedom and flexibility that I really craved. I knew, even having that corporate job for those 2 years, I knew that wasn't forever for me. I really didn't jive well with 9 to 5 work hours and 2 weeks vacation a year and all the rules. Regulations that come with a job like that. It really felt natural for me to lean into having a flexible schedule. And my husband is a musician. At the time, he was traveling a lot and touring. And so I also used that as an opportunity to go on the road with him. Freelancing was my gateway to being able to make a living and have that flexibility to work from anywhere. So it was amazing. But I'll say the next twist came a few years later when I had built a really successful freelancing career. I was working a lot and doing too many jobs for too many types of people. I'll say social media, marketing, websites, branding, packaging, you name it. I was saying yes to it. And I really realized that I was about to hit a wall. Even as a manifesting generator in human design, I have that multi-passionate energy and that sacral battery that keeps me going. But even we can hit a wall when we're doing too many things that aren't really aligned. So I realized, and I don't remember now exactly what the steps were, but it was having several projects that I was not excited about, working with clients that I really didn't align with, letting the clients dictate too much of the work, how much I got paid, when the deadlines were, the scope of it. And I just really needed to burn things down and rebuild them. So I rebranded, I created more of a business. I feel like I went from a freelancer to a CEO mindset, is how I said. And of course, I worked with a coach at the time. I think that was the first time I worked with a coach to help me get clarity on who I really wanted to work with, what I really wanted to do. And that was when I first honed in on my ideal client, female soulpreneurs. I don't think I was using that language at the time, but essentially women who are building personal brands. A lot of healers, coaches, therapists, creatives. That was the catalyst for the work I'm doing now, which has in my brain naturally evolved into branding, intense personal process when you're building a personal brand, into coaching, which is a more holistically supportive way of working with women at this point.
So thinking of that shift from freelancer to CEO, you've defined what that shift looked like for the type of women you wanted to work with. What did that shift feel like for you? I know there's a lot of women right now that are in that freelance space, that are in that kind of pivot and potentially thinking about being their own business owner. And so I'm just curious what that journey was on your personal development and identity.
Yeah, that shift is one way of talking about, you know, what I say all the time, entrepreneurship is the greatest container for personal growth that I know of. It's certainly the path that I feel like my soul has chosen in this life to grow and evolve and learn lessons. Freelancing was like a job, right? It was just a way to make money and have a flexible schedule. Doing the work of becoming a CEO, I'll say, or becoming a personal brand myself and doing that work with other women has been a personal growth journey, a spiritual journey. It has caused me to look within myself, find confidence that I didn't have before, find clarity, tap into my intuition. And so again, I think this is true for all of us soulpreneurs. We do the work that we want to guide other people through. And sometimes it's alongside of them. Usually it's a little ahead of them, but I didn't realize it at the time, 10 years ago or so. But yes, I was absolutely setting myself up for doing this work with other women. Yeah, it's a longer story, but essentially it was a spiritual journey of finding my sense of purpose, the confidence to be the person I want to be in the world, to, and then all the things that go along with that, right? Getting clear on my money issues and clearing some of those blocks so that I can charge what I need to charge and being comfortable being invisible and doing things like interviews and putting my story out online. And there's so much inner work that needs to happen before the outer expression of the business can be solid and sustainable.
You referenced human design and the fact that you're a manifesting generator, I believe. For listeners that aren't familiar with human design, can you give us just a little overview, a short kind of description of what that is and how you see that applicable in the soulpreneur work?
Yeah. So I will say, going back to my spiritual, personal growth, business journey over the last 10 years or so, there are a lot of tools that I've used. Having coaches has been invaluable, therapy, retreats. And then there are tools like astrology I'm a huge fan of, and human design really fell into my lap. I think in 2019, when I was working with one of my coaches who was starting to use it, and it made so much sense because it was like an amalgamation of several of the other systems that I was interested in or had heard about. It brings in astrology, the chakra system, I Ching from China, quantum physics. So it's a nice synthesis, a hybrid of all of these things that is fairly clear and easy to understand, I think, more so than a lot of these tools. So for many reasons, I felt like it was a great tool. It was like the tool for me, at first for my personal journey, of course, and then later for working with clients. But as far as from a business perspective, it felt like the tool because it really speaks about how our energy is used in the world. They call it your body graph chart. Your human design chart is created based on the astrological data of when you were born and when you were designed, which is about 3 months before you were born. So similar to astrology, it takes into account the position of all of the planets, but it creates this body graph chart, which is often called your unique energetic blueprint. So it's really like a snapshot of how our energy is meant to be in this world. And for me, that was the revelation because it gives us that insight into what our energy is supposed to look like. Like as a Manny Gen, for example, I'm supposed to be multi-passionate and have multiple things happening at the same time. And that's one of the many things that was very validating for me to go from thinking I'm flaky and scatterbrained or I have too much, I'm too much, to this is how my energy is meant to be. I just need to figure out how to harness it in the most productive way possible. And so it's a system that was created only about 35 years ago by a man who channeled it. And it's really been added to and expanded by hundreds, thousands of people since then. A lot of people are using it. So yeah, again, from a business perspective, it speaks really directly to our purpose. There's a few parts of our chart that really tell us how our purpose is meant to look, the life theme that we're walking, the path that we're walking. And I always preface my work in human design with, this is not meant to put you in a box. This is meant to be validating, clarifying, give you a jumping off point for deeper conversations about who you are, how you're showing up in the world, and how conditioning might be clouding how you're showing up in the world. Again, we have this snapshot of who we're meant to be. And of course, throughout our lives, we all take lots of conditioning through culture, our family experiences that we have. And that's really interesting for me from a coaching perspective to dive in with people, like how have they maybe moved away from their design through conditioning and how can we look at that, talk about it, and get closer to our true alignment.
Help us understand that bridge of passion and purpose and just some of the ways you help women do that.
Yeah, I've often talked about this triangle of passion, purpose, profit. Essentially, I feel like that's essentially my work in the nutshell, like how to move from passion to purpose to profit as far as creating a business. It all starts with what you're passionate about. Certainly, if I were to work with somebody who didn't know what they wanted to do exactly in their business, we would start with passion because that's like the fire that ignites the purpose. I feel like purpose is more service oriented and it's a deeper, wider, lifelong, not necessarily you're going to have the same purpose throughout your life, but I think there's going to be general themes that are going to show up throughout your life. I think we are all here with a sort of theme that we're meant to tackle, path that we're meant to walk. And that doesn't mean all the specifics are laid out. I think it can look a million different ways because humans are all unique and different. And our experiences are all unique and different. But yeah, identifying your passion is a really great starting point if you are interested in creating more purpose in your life or having a business that an expression of that purpose. For me, when I really think about my journey, a few passions were the catalyst probably for my business. It started, I think, with travel as a passion because that's why I was eager to jump into freelancing because I just wanted to have the flexibility to be able to travel and not be limited to where I could work from. And that's why web design and design work was really appealing to me in the first place. And then it became passion for, ironically, my passion is helping other people discover their purpose. I learned that over years of working with lots of different people and eventually getting into coaching. But that's really the fire that drives the work that I do. It's not so much about business. It's business as an expression of our passion and purpose and a way to create a sustainable lifestyle through that.
Oh, I think that's such a great clarification. I love that definition of the work that you do. We could all get to that point where we're able to identify that and make profit. What a better world we can all contribute to.
Absolutely. That's the goal.
Yeah. So I think now thinking a little bit more tactical, you've talked about adopting an experimental mindset. And so in this work, there is maybe some road bumps of potential failure inevitably showing up, and you might not get it fully exactly right out of the gate. And with that, thinking of the women that you work with, I think that stick-to-itiveness is the hard part of this. And as somebody that's helping support women on this journey, what are some tips that you have? What are some thoughts that you have about that aspect of being a solopreneur?
Absolutely. This is the work that I do with people 90% of the time. If I had to say anything was the most important part of creating a sustainable business, consistency and commitment. Yeah. You have to be committed. That doesn't mean you have to know exactly what it's going to look like. And this is where experimentation comes in, because I often meet with people who think that they have absolute clarity around the vision. But what I always say is we don't actually know step 10 until we take step 1 and 2. So we have to trust and be in that experimental mindset of taking the next step, gathering the evidence, going back to the drawing board when something's not working. Failure is just expectations that weren't met. It's just not working the way you wanted it to, which doesn't necessarily mean it failed. If you take the experimental mindset, if you think about this as like a science lab, of course there's going to be quote unquote failure, but that's just data to bring back to the drawing board, as I say, to look over, to tweak, refine, change, pivot. And that is essentially the solopreneur path in a nutshell. So if you're really uncomfortable with experimentation and failure, you probably will give up, or you're going to have to do a lot of personal work to get past that. And that's why I think working with a coach or somebody who can hold that safe container for you over time. And nowadays, I'm working with clients generally 6 months to a year. And it takes that time to run the experiment, to get the evidence, to take action, to come back, to look at the blocks and things that are holding you back, to have somebody else hold that space, to feel safe to experiment in, to get feedback that's constructive, to all the things, right? To work through what's coming up for you. So that's my advice, is work with somebody who's been there, who can hold that space for you and really remind you that it takes time, that you're doing the work. You know, even if you don't have the experience that you expected, even if your expectations aren't met.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Every step counts. It's going to be what you wanted or better, as long as you stay consistent and committed.
Yes. I think for my own journey, I'm only since January launching my business. And I think that every day at this point, I'm celebrating those little, what I call hugs from the universe, when just this little feel like something shows up to show that I'm on the right path. Could be just a testimonial from somebody. It could be an invitation to be a guest on a podcast, just something that kind of comes in from the universe that's, yep, you're on the right path. Have you hit all of your milestones on the exact time that you've said nope, or some of them I've had to change totally altogether. But at the end of the day, for me, it's, wow, celebrating those little wins has been just so huge for me. Wondering for your vantage point with your own business, what are some of the daily practices that you have to help ground yourself in that stick-to-itiveness to keep going, even when things have to pivot on your end?
Cultivating these practices, what I call scaffolding, really such an important part of doing this work, right? Because we can, even if we are super clear on our goals and the action we need to take and the strategy, actually sticking to it, like things are going to come up, right? Blocks, lazy distractions, like Perfectionism, absolutely. You've kind of mentioned that earlier. That's like the number one thing to get for clients in my own way. So what scaffolding do we need to put in place? It might be personal practices. It might be working with a coach or having a group for accountability, for support, for feedback. For me, there's so many things. Yeah. I know my spiritual practices, mindfulness, meditation, yoga have been really supportive to keep me in healthy and to keep me having like consistent routine in my life. That's really important for me. It's hard when you're an entrepreneur to set your own schedule sometimes, especially if you're coming from like a corporate job where that was already created for you. And suddenly you're like, okay, my calendar looks really open, but I know I have a million things to do. I just don't know how to structure it in the most productive way. I have lots of tools for that, for time management and structuring. But for me, like starting my day really good with a walk, mindfulness, yoga, and a healthy breakfast is important. Of course, I have a coach who's amazing to be able to send her messages when I'm going off the rails or when I'm confused or when I'm stuck on something. To have those weekly check-ins has been invaluable. I'm part of many groups. I love being with other women entrepreneurs, whether I'm working with them or whether they hire me. It's just having that network of people that you can lean on so that you don't feel alone. For me is the number one thing, because solopreneurship can be lonely, of course, especially when we're working at our homes. Especially for me, when I was doing freelancing work, I wasn't interacting with people nearly as much as I am now as a coach. So I started getting involved in a lot of groups and having coaches and accountability and all that. But now more than ever, I think we all need that. We're all working online a lot. We're working from home. And we need to remember that this isn't, that we're not the only ones doing this, and that other people have experiences that are helpful for us, and we can lean on that support.
Yeah. Speaking of leaning on that support, I've heard you talk about niches and the idea that when you get laser focused on a niche, that your community can expand. And I'm curious, why do you think that is?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. In marketing, they say when you're speaking to everyone, you're speaking to no one.
Yeah,
and I think that's true in life too. If you think about groups that you're a part of, that are, if you go to a networking event or just any event, like a party, where you don't necessarily have anything specific in common with people, there's just like a lot of different kinds of people there. That can be interesting, right? You can meet some interesting different people if you're really open to that. But when you go to a group event, let's say a sound healing for moms in their 40s or whatever, and you go and you have so much in common with everybody there, you can go deep really quickly and create real connection. So I do feel like niching, I know a lot of entrepreneurs hate that word, but it's the same concept where if you are really specific about who you want to work with, who you best serve, what you know is going on in their life that is going to have them want to work with you and get an amazing transformation, then you can jump ahead like 10 steps in the marketing work. You don't have to convince them. You don't have to educate them. They're already ready. They're looking for somebody like you. They just need to know that it's the right fit. So I think it cuts down on a lot of our work as entrepreneurs when we're clear on our niche. And also I always remind people, like, I'm a multi-passionate person, a Manny Gen. I've used that language a lot with my clients because most of them are, I would say, multi-passionate, trying to weave together different gifts and experiences and modalities into one cohesive brand. Their brand doesn't have to be super niched, but their offerings probably should be. So you could have more of an umbrella brand that's a little less specific, and then have a few offerings if you're like a very multi-passionate person that are more specific about who they help and what the transformation is and what that looks like.
So these next few questions are a section I call Rapid Reel. They're just some little simple questions. Get to know a little bit of your philosophy and some of your routines a little bit more. So the first one is just a favorite place of yours where you feel most inspired.
The traveler, I'm thinking of all those far-flung places I've been.
Yeah.
And my favorite, one of my favorites is Lake Atitlan, Guatemala, which I'm going back to in February. And I'm actually leading what I'm calling Soulful Sabbatical. It's a group travel experience where we're going to, I'm not calling it a retreat. It is like a retreat, but it's a retreat light. So this place in particular is so inspiring to me for many reasons. It's the most beautiful, like, natural area I've been to. It's a volcanic lake surrounded by 9 villages. And each village is so unique and special, and they've really captured their uniqueness through their culture. Each village has like a distinct way of talking and dressing and So I don't know. There's lots
that's
of places
incredible.
In the world.
That sounds amazing.
Yes.
What does alignment feel like in your body?
Alignment in my body. I've been taking a somatic experiencing class these last few weeks and really looking at that question exactly. I would say for me, it's openness, it's expansion. With clients, I often ask them when they're thinking about something difficult or trying to make a decision. We talk about, does it feel expansive or contractive in your body?
Yeah.
And everybody knows what that feels like. For me, it's more my chest usually. It's like a tightness versus an openness, an ability to breathe deep. So I feel like that feels like alignment. When we get those nudges from the universe, like you were talking about, and we know we're on the right path, there's this feeling of possibility, openness, spaciousness.
Oh, I love that feeling. I also took a somatic experience in class earlier this year, and it was just, I talk about it a lot on the show because I recommend it. It was new to me, and the practices from that have been really incredible, as well as what you described with the sound bath, being amongst others that were interested in learning that practice. The energy among that group was really a sacred place. And so I'm excited that you're experiencing that right now.
Yeah. And it's all part of the work we do, right?
Of course.
As a entrepreneur, I always say like our energy is part of keeping our energy clean or expansive.
Yes.
Is like such an important part of our work. So doing all of these practices, finding what helps you and works for you to be in your body, to be present, to feel expansive, to feel confident, like it's all so important and so connected and absolutely part of
much
business.
And I feel like it comes through loud in your work because I feel like here's another question related to your energy. I think this is the last one I have, but I feel like let's keep going down that vein. And what is a song that you turn to raise your frequency?
I have one very specific, actually I have two songs. The one that has just been with me the longest, and it's funny, my husband will, if you see me like having a hard day, be like, do you need me to turn on Whitney?
Because
Whitney
Houston,
I want to dance with somebody.
Oh, yes.
I cannot listen to that song and not dance and feel like good in my body.
Oh my gosh, Jess, have you been to, so again, listeners, Jess also lives in Madison. So here in Madison, Wisconsin, first Fridays every month, there is something called the Hot Flash Dance Party, and it is incredible because it's targeted to our generation, 70s, 80s, 90s, and it is just a space of pure joy. And that song is always everybody. We have so many videos of us dancing to that song. It's the best.
I've been wanting to go. I need to put it on my calendar, yes, months ago.
It's incredible.
I need to go.
Somebody, they've said, this feels like catharsis to my high school soul. It feels like we're back in some high school gym. And
now we're more confident to dance like idiots.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yes, and the energy is just like that. Everybody is dressed in how they want to dress, dance how they want to dance. It's incredible. So I recommend it.
Dance is one of my favorite ways to move energy and get in my body and let go of that toxicity. It's great.
What is something that you wish new entrepreneurs would stop doing?
Good one. Wish they would stop doing?
Yeah.
I wish they would stop looking for the silver bullet, the secret formula that I feel like there's a lot of coaches and consultants and gurus online that are hawking this one size fits all. I've got the answer to all your problems kind of thing. Yeah. And it's just not true, especially for those of us who are solopreneurs who are in this for more than just making money. There's absolutely no one way to do it. I've tried them all on myself. I have a client, which is, again, why I lean into intuition and human design and all of these tools that are more custom and just help us figure out what works for us. And it's got to be an experiment. You've got to try and fail and see what works and doesn't work. And it takes time. Yeah, I wish people would stop looking for that and spending money on things that they think are going to be the quick fix and just trust that it's going to take time. It's going to take consistency. It's going to take commitment, and you'll figure it out through your intuition and what's.
Yes. As we're a few months out from rounding out this year, is there just a couple of words or a phrase that comes to mind as far as what you envision for what you want to contribute to the folks that you're working with and just the work that you do? What are some things that just come to mind about your contributions to the world in these last few months?
That's good. Yeah, I always come up with kind of the last minute, just intuitively. There's always like a word or phrase there in December, January, that comes to mind to set the tone for the year. And I'm not sure exactly what that is yet this year. Yeah. I'll say like the phrase that I've been using for the last couple months that is resonating with me more and more every day is your work is your medicine. It's really clear for me now how this entrepreneurial journey is woven together in my healing journey, with other people's healing journeys. And so the medicine that you're meant to provide to the world is through the work that you're doing, through taking action, building a business or not, but doing the work that you're meant to do, being in alignment with your purpose. And it's the medicine that you need. And part of that is going through the failure, going through the limiting beliefs, looking at the imposter syndrome, doing all the hard work of building a business or being in your purpose. That's medicine, right? That's what you need to come out the other side as your most aligned self.
Oh, I relate to that so much. That was beautifully said. Before we get to the final question, is there anything that we didn't touch on that you wanted to share? And then also just let our listeners know how they can connect with you and your work.
Yeah, gosh, I think we've covered a lot. Obviously, if you are a solopreneur or aspiring solopreneur, I also love working with women who are on the purpose path, but aren't totally clear what that looks like yet, or not sure if that is going to be a business. Again, I'm more and more interested in business as an expression of our purpose. And if the business part ends up fading away, I'm not going to be mad at that. I'm going to be really focused on helping women be in their full self-expression. So that's really the catalyst for me. I'd love to talk to anybody who's on that path, who's looking for support or just has some questions. You can connect with me on my website, jesscarbon.com, Holistic Biz Growth on Instagram, Holistic Business Growth with Jess Carbon and the podcast. I'm sure you'll have all of those links, but I just love people having conversation. Nowadays, I'm doing all these soulful selling workshops and retreats. That's really my message I'm putting out right now, because the word selling is so triggering for most of us. Marketing is the hardest thing, everybody's least favorite thing. And I think there are ways to do it that are not traditional, not linear, but aligned. And for me, it's just having real conversations with people. Being on podcasts, for one, is so much more fulfilling than posting a ton of social media reels. So I'm happy to have conversations with anybody. You can schedule a consultation on my website. Come with me to Guatemala if you're listening and you're like, yes, travel and personal growth.
That sounds incredible.
Keep an eye on. Yeah, maybe Jen here, always trying out new person experiences. Who knows?
Well, I love it. Projector here is always open for invitations. So we Yes, I'm 2 for 2 so far in accepting your invitation. So we'll see. All right. So the last question, we might have listeners right now who are in their own messy middle, rock bottom moment, and wondering, when you've found yourself in those situations, what's a piece of advice that you wish would have come sooner?
Yeah. For one thing, I'll just say the messy middle is not a one and done. Keep going.
And then we can work back to it. Yeah. I've been in mine for 5 years. I
been a messy metal.
What's your thing?
Whenever we think we reach some summit, there's something else.
Exactly. On. That's right.
Human experience.
That's life.
I love that term, messy metal.
But it's first.
Hopefully, stuck in that spot too long.
Yeah.
And just advice that I wish I had.
What do you know now that wish you knew then, kind of thing?
Yeah. Oh, man. The first thing that comes to mind, there's so many lessons. The first thing that comes to mind is you don't need anybody else's permission to be yourself and to powerfully decide right now to be successful, whatever that looks like for you. Yeah. You don't have to get outside permission. You don't have to have a certain amount of money in your bank account. You don't have to have a list of credentials under your name. You get to decide.
Yes. Thank you. This was so much fun. And your story overall is just a reminder that alignment isn't found in somebody else's strategy or spreadsheet, that it really is just the courage to be yourself fully and find it within that place. And so thank you for sharing that with our listeners. And for those listening today, thank you again for checking in with us. A reminder to just keep honoring your own messy journey. And until then, stay well. And I look forward to connecting with you next time. Thank you.
Before we wrap today, I want to invite you to be part of the Becoming is Messy community. Subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss a single episode. And if there's anything that resonates with you, please leave a review. Your feedback means the world to me. and it helps other people find this community. Follow me on social media. I'd love to hear your ideas for future topics, your questions, and stories from your own messy moments. And if you're feeling inspired, check out the Becoming is Messy shop, where you can grab a mug, a t-shirt, or something else that reminds you to embrace your messy magic every single day. A huge thank you to the incredible Wolves and Sheep for providing the music for Becoming is Messy. Check them out on your favorite music streaming platform. As we close out today's episode, remember this. Messy is just another word for growing. So keep showing up, keep laughing, and keep making beautifully awkward progress. Until next time, stay messy, my friends.